The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Freedom's Disciple on demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
And I want to ask you a very important question. Who controls labor? Who controls your labor? And what I want to do is I want to take this in context of a story that America was outraged by about 2 weeks ago. It seems every couple of weeks there's this new outrage and we get this new hashtag and we all talk about this, oh my God, outrage, this is horrific. Now this is a couple of weeks old, but the story doesn't really matter. I just want to talk to you about the principles behind it. But the story was, again, unless you're living under a rock, you heard this story and you heard all the outrage over it. Well, there was this movie called All the Money in the World, and Kevin Spacey was starring in it. Well, you all know what happened with Kevin Spacey, and Kevin Spacey has, it's like he's just disappeared off the face of the earth. No one wants to do a follow-up story, no one wants to see where he is, no one wants to know what he's doing. Just, Kevin who? Kevin Spacey, he was an actor. Who? I've never heard of Kevin Spacey. It's amazing. Well, he was in this movie with Mark Wahlberg and Michelle Williams, and he was basically just totally removed from the movie, and they obviously had to re-record certain scenes. And of course, Michelle Williams, who's a co-star, who I have no idea, apologies, I don't know what she's in, was paid $1,000. Mark Wahlberg, another one of the co-stars, you've heard of him, he's been in many movies, he's part of the Wahlberg family, his brother is Danny, who's in Blue Bloods. I've seen him in loads of movies. Mark Wahlberg is in loads of action movies. He got paid $1.5 million for his reshoots. $1.5 million compared to $1,000. This highlights the gender pay inequality. This highlights everything that's wrong with America. This needs to be solved. We need Congress to get involved. We need to fix this. This is unacceptable. Forget the fact that Michelle Williams, and I give you one of her quotes. I said, this is a quote, this is not me paraphrasing, this is an exact word-for-word quote. I said I'd be wherever they needed me, whenever they needed me, and they could have my salary, they could have my holiday, whatever they wanted, because I appreciated so much that they were making this massive effort. She told the USA Today about this reshoot. In case you didn't hear that, let me just rephrase that. Or not rephrase it, re-say that. I said I'd be wherever they needed me, whenever they needed me. They could have my salary, they could have my holiday, whatever they wanted. Of course, this is an outrage. But Michelle Williams, and you saw all the headlines, she earned 1,500 times less than her male co-star. This is wrong. This is a tragedy. This needs to be solved. That's the background for what I want to talk to you about. I don't want to talk to you about Michelle Williams. I don't want to speak to you about Mark Wahlberg. I want to talk to you about principles. The principle of who controls labor. And more importantly, who controls your labor? Because here's a question for you. And I know the answer to this in today's world, and especially in Europe and other parts of the world. This has been ingrained in me. I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do I or can I control my own destiny? No, John, you can't. It's decided for you. Okay, thanks for that. I know it's a hypothetical question, but can you? Because I don't think today, I don't know how you can make an argument with a straight face to say, yeah, of course you can control your own destiny. You can control certain parts of it. But a large part, through society, through government, we looked for everyone else to control our destiny. We looked for government and for society and for these keyboard warriors to fix everyone's problems. So the question is, should you be able to control your own destiny? Should you be able to control the price you charge for your work? What I find so troubling is we are in this path, and this is not an America thing, this is not an Irish thing, this isn't a politician thing, this is a world thing. as we become more and more quote-unquote advanced with technology and our lifestyle, we become so more and more materialistic. Everything is about a material. Everything is about money. When we talk about our job satisfaction, so much of it revolves around money. Is that the only consideration in our life? Is that the only consideration for fairness? But you're hearing this price, this hashtag, you're seeing this movement of, well, I believe in equal pay for equal work, and anyone who doesn't believe that, well, you're just a dinosaur, you're just a sexist, you're just a hater. But let's actually talk about that, because how many people do we discriminate against to get to equal pay for equal work? Well, how can you discriminate? Maybe discriminate is a too strong a word for people who don't like strong language. How about we say a word? Oh, here's a great idea. How about I use a word from the left? You know, let's use their words against them. How many people are we unfair towards when we demand something like that as a societal standard? Because, again, it's like, all, you know, the greater good. All equal pay for equal work sounds very good and it sounds very noble. But let's take that into practice. And let's think about all the people we are being unfair to. And let me give you some real life examples. Equal pay for equal work. It sounds wonderful. It sounds noble. It sounds good intentions. But how is this possible? Equal pay for equal work. Because we don't, whether you like it or not, we do not come from the exact same background, everyone. Are we being unfair to an individual who might benefit from more pay? Are we being unfair to the employers who wants to reward certain things? Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. Some jobs go for, you know, certain qualifications. And you see this among liberals as well. They push this. So let's take, you have two candidates. And I'm not going to fill in the gender. The gender is irrelevant. Two candidates going for the same job. They have 5 years worth of experience and they have a degree. Now people would say, well, that's equal. They're both the same. They both have 5 years worth of experience. They have a degree to their name in their said field. They're going for a job. Surely that should equate to be they paid the same. That, you know, if they offered person applicant A the job, they get, and let's just throw out a number, $50,000. And if they get give it to option B, candidate B, he gets $50,000. Whatever the gender is. I don't want to get into gender politics. Surely they have 5 years experience and have a degree, right? No, it doesn't work that way. Or should it work this way? Let me give you some examples. Let's say candidate A, their college degree is from the local community college in, and I'll let you fill in the blank, in a pick the most smallest city in the most smallest state that no college, nobody's ever heard of this college. It's just the local community college from that state. And candidate B has a degree from, let's say, I don't know, NYU. And let's say there's a third candidate, just for kicks and giggles. Candidate C has a degree in the exact same field from Harvard. Does an employer have the right to go, you know that Harvard candidate? I really like them. I'm going to give them because I really want that person. They went to Harvard. I think Harvard is better than the other 2 degrees. It means more to me. I'm going to give them, I'm not going to give them 50,000. I know that's what I was saying the job was worth, but I'm going to give them 52,000. Do I have that right? Or do I have a right as a person to go, look, I know you're offering 50,000, but I went to Harvard. That is the, and I'm not saying Harvard's better than everyone else. I'm just using it as an example because everyone thinks Harvard is better than everyone else. Do they have a right to say, I'm worth more, I went to Harvard? Do I control my own labor? And then if I go to the employer saying, look, I'm worth more because I went to Harvard, I want 52,000. Am I automatically, if they offer me the job and they go, you know what? Okay, we want you. We're going to give you the 52,000. And let's say there's other people in that company on the $50,000 level. Am I discriminating against them? Are they being discriminated because I went to Harvard and they didn't? I asked for it and they didn't. Is that discrimination? But let's give you another example, because this is where no one ever breaks everything down. Even on the experience level, I said the candidates all had 5 years experience. But experience is different. Let's say candidate A had 5 years worth of experience in his family's business. And his family business was literally him, his parents, his brother and his cousin and his nephew. You know, typical small family business. And candidate B had experience, and it wasn't in a family business, but it was in a company that had, let's say, 50 employees. They all did the exact same job. And candidate C worked in Google and had 5 years worth of experience. Now, if we just use the blanket, well, they have 5 years worth of experience, equal pay for equal work. No, they all did different. They all have different experiences. They're all at different levels. It's not just a number. Let's say the employer happens to have a past relationship with Google and goes, I love people the way they work in Google. They have the Google way. I'm going to pay them a premium because I know they understand the way Google thinks. They'll understand the way we think. And with the greatest respect to the small company and to the parent company, they won't get it. They don't understand the Google way of working. Do they have that right to ask for more money? But let me give you another example, because everyone wants to be outraged about different things. We are all at different stages in our life, and we all prioritize different things. And I'm going to use a very personal example. Last year, if you've been a long-term listener to the show, you know I went to America. I went on my vacation. I paid for it myself. And I went and did a speaking tour. I paid for my flights, my accommodation, my car, my food, everything. And I went and I gave speeches for free. And I asked people, instead of giving me money, you give any money that you, if you like what I say and you traditionally give money to these two following charities. They're very close to my heart. And I don't know whether I've ever made this public or not, but the two charities that are closest to my heart are the Nazarene Fund and OUR Rescue. It should be obvious why. Now, let's say Glenn Beck had this great idea tomorrow. And Glenn was going to take all the staff for the Blaze and he was going to do a tour around the country, all 50 states, and give speeches. And he had all the radio hosts. He had him and Stu. He had Pat. He had Jeffy. He had Doc. He had Lawrence. He had Ali. He had everyone connected who's a public figure. He even included the podcasters. He included Zudi Jasser, he included Cam Edwards, he included Rabbi Lappin, and for reasons I don't know why he included me. And let's say, even with the most noble intentions, we're just trying to, you know, revive America tour, or, you know, American exceptionalism tour, whatever name he came up with. What do you think our fees would be to do that tour? Would it be all the same? Would we all get the same? Would we all have the right to say, well, we're all going to get the same money? Huh? I'm sorry. Most people on that tour, a good chunk of them will come for Glenn Beck and would get everyone else. I don't know anyone on that tour who's gone, hey, you know what? I'm here to see for the Glenn Beck American Exceptionalism Tour. I just want to hear the Irish guy talk. Everyone else can just go away. That ain't happening. As much as you might think it, or you might want to say it, or you might have, if you have an ego, you'd be like, oh, there's someone coming for me. Realistically not. On that totem pole, I'll be honest, I don't know where I fit. Maybe in your eyes I'm different, but in my eyes, I'm on the last stool on that ladder, and I have no problem admitting that. So we don't all get equal pay for equal work. And let's say, you know, Glenn Beck speaks for 15 minutes and I speak for 45 minutes. Surely I should be paying more. No, doesn't work that way. We have different appeals. They would be paid differently. But how about, do I have the right to say this? Wow, Glenn, I'm so honored you thought of me. It would just be an honor to be considered. If you just covered my flights and my food and board, I don't want to earn any money from this. Do I have a right to say this? Do I have a right to go, I will do this for free. Just pay all my costs. And that's all I ask you to cover. Do I have that right? And if Glenn goes, wow, that's really kind of you, that takes a bit of pressure off, absolutely. Does he have a right to accept that? Does he have a right to accept me volunteering to do it? And if he accepts it, is he discriminating against me? No, well, you're not a minority. It's your white privilege. Oh, okay. That's a different subject. Do I control my labor? And do I control what I earn? Because here's the other thing. And let's bring this back to movies and to people in sports. If you ever watched baseball, it's becoming baseball season, so I'm going to use a baseball reference. One of the people you have heard in baseball, you probably can't, I know I can't. I could not pick this person out of a lineup, right? I don't know what they look like. I know nothing about them, about their business, but I know who they are, and I know they're very good at what they do. That person is Scott Boras. He is an agent in baseball. So I couldn't pick Scott Boras out of a lineup, but I know what he does. He usually gets top dollar for his clients. He always seems to get the big contracts. Everyone knows this. Everyone wants to be his client. Well, not everyone, but a good chunk. If we have a system of equal pay for equal work, are we being unfair to people like Scott Boras, who have a unique talent, a talent that says, I can get you top dollar. I'll probably get you more than you're worth because you're a Scott Boras guy. You're a Scott Boras client. Are we discriminating and being unfair to that individual who has this unbelievable talent for getting top dollar and negotiating the best contract for his clients? If we all just have a generic equal pay for equal work. But again, let me use a baseball example for talents, because talents are appreciated different, and this is easy given sports. You may think, you know what, in baseball, I'm going to keep this very simple. Obviously, the person who hits the most home runs is going to be the most valuable in some way, shape, or form, and we're going to pay for that. Okay. But let's say you're an organization who's like the New York Yankees right now. You're kind of looking at the team, kind of going, we have a lot of power hitters. What we really need is someone just to get base, bat and ball, and with a bit of speed. We obviously have that, but let's just use that as an analogy. That's what they need. Well, that creates a demand. So you have, you have a candidate over there who's like, you know what, in a market, he's only worth 3 years, $30 million. But the Yankees really need that. They really need his bat on ball skills, and they need his speedy legs. Or he feels his position really well. We're going to give him 3 and 36 because we want that. But that's not fair, because you're discriminating, because other people only got 3 and 30. Do you have a right to offer someone more money? Do you have a right to accept it? Now, I know a lot of people, if you are anywhere near the idea of the left, you're going to be outraged by what I've said for the last 15 minutes. I'm going to give you the solution. Because you could take what I've just said and went, well, you're just for unfair people, and you just hate people, and you hate minorities, and you hate a load of people, and you're just a racist, xenophobe, homophobic, right-wing hater. What's the solution? My solution, I don't want government involved in contracts. I don't want, social movements involved in contracts. What I do want is to empower everyone. Let me repeat that, because the key word is the last one. I want to empower everyone. Male, female, black, white, Asian, color the rainbow, gay, straight. I want you to take control of your labor. I want to empower you to negotiate better and get more money for yourself. I want to help you negotiate and control your own labor and get what you think you're worth. And empower you that if you don't get it, explain the reason why, and then give you solutions on how to get it in the future. I don't want government involved in contracts. I want you involved in contracts, where you sit down with your employer, wherever that's at, whether that's a movie agent, whether that's a sports club, whether that's your local job. And when I say empowerment, to give you the solutions. If you go and ask, if you're sitting there kind of going, I want to be empowered, how would you empower me getting more money from my job? Go ask for it. or this great idea? Go seek opportunity. Go seek how you can be more valuable to the company. Go add more jobs. Do more things for them. Work harder. Stay later if you can. Be more available. Say, I want to grow with you. I want to really grow. How can I grow? Be honest. Ask the question up front. I really like working here. How can I grow with this company? That might involve you learning a new skill. That might involve you going back to school. That might involve you working harder. That might involve you working later. But I do believe if it's just about money, a lot of people just go, he just wants more money, leave him alone. Because the way I've experienced it, and I experienced it in socialism, in a socialist country, in a socialist system, was you have to work, you have to sacrifice to get ahead. You have to sacrifice to be a better person, to make yourself more valuable. No one's just going to come along going, hey, I really like you, here's an extra buck an hour, $2 an hour, $3 an hour. Now you gotta provide and show why you're worth it. Supply and demand. Why you're worth it. Why you're worth that extra dollar. What are you going to do for them? Because in deep down, employers and bosses are just like you. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? Why should I give you an extra dollar an hour? What am I getting? I want to empower you, regardless of your background, regardless of what you vote, to get more money, to control your own destiny. Because if you believe in freedom, then the government and other people have no role in your responsibility. Your contract employment, regardless of whether you just work at the local 7-Eleven as a part-time person, whether you work in an office or whether you're an actor, is between you and the person who employs you. Because here's the great secret that no one ever seems to say. If you get a contract that you think is unfavorable, or terms that you don't think are favorable to you, or you think you've been discriminated against, you can always say no. Always say no. You have that option. There isn't someone there with a gun going, these are the terms you have to take, and you must take them. Thank you, and hope you enjoyed this short clip from last week's show. If you want more content based around America being an exceptional idea, eternal principles, and searching for self-evident truths, then please subscribe to my show called Freedom's Disciple, which is available for free on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher.
You're listening to Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn on the Blaze Radio Network.